The clinician detective. Investigation begins with careful observation. Dr. Ronald Swatsina, director and chief scientist of the Houston Neuroscience Brain Center, inspired our clinician detective series. In his Association for Applied Psychophysiology and Biofeedback Distinguished Scientist Address, he reminded his audience that the DSM-5 advises systematically ruling out general medical conditions before assigning a psychiatric diagnosis to ensure diagnostic validity and appropriate treatment planning. He argued that in abrupt onset and refractory cases, EEG biomarkers should challenge neurofeedback providers and their medical colleagues to become detectives to identify its causes. This collaborative approach allows each professional to contribute to the assessment while staying in their lane. Dr. Swatsina generously mentors professionals in his investigative method, including raw EEG interpretation, to train the next generation of neurofeedback clinicians. We based this post on his ADDAR Ethics webinar, Meeting the Ethical Requirements for Diagnosing Mental Health Disorders, a Neuroscience Approach. Introduction. As clinicians trained in neuroscience and neurofeedback, we often see what others miss. Patients come to us with symptoms, anxiety, hallucinations, panic, fatigue, but these symptoms do not arrive with a clear label. Too often, diagnoses are assigned quickly, based on surface-level behavioral observations. But we are not mere catalogers of symptoms. We are diagnosticians, and if we are to honor the ethical responsibilities of our role, we must go beyond the DSM checklist. We must ask what lies beneath the symptoms. We must ask why now and why this person, not merely what this is called. This ethos, the approach of the clinician detective, is rooted in the principle that behavior is biology in disguise. Emotional disturbances, disorganized thought, inattention, and mood instability are often consequences of disrupted neural function, systemic illness, environmental toxicity, or unrecognized traumas. Ethically, we are obligated to rule out these root causes before assigning psychiatric labels. The DSM-5 itself mandates that clinicians first rule out substance use, use of drugs or alcohol, medical conditions, and environmental factors before a mental disorder diagnosis can be ethically made. In DSM-5's use of manual section, it states, before a diagnosis of a mental disorder can be made, the clinician must rule out that the symptoms are not attributable to the physiological effects of a substance or another medical condition, page 19. Mental illness as circuit dysfunction, from DSM to RDUC. The DSM-5 remains the dominant diagnostic system in clinical psychiatry, but it is not grounded in neuroscience. In fact, Dr. Thomas Insel, during his tenure as director of the National Institute of Mental Health, publicly stated that the DSM lacks scientific validity. He emphasized that it is a tool of consensus, not evidence, a system of naming, not explaining. In response, the NIM launched the Research Domain Criteria, RDUC, a research framework for studying mental disorders based on dimensions of observable behavior and neurobiological measures, which reframes mental illness as circuit dysfunction, problems in the brain's interconnected networks. This model views psychiatric disorders as problems in specific brain systems that can be measured using tools such as electroencephalography, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and genetic analysis. Rather than asking whether a patient fits the criteria for major depressive disorder, the RDUC model asks, which brain networks are failing? Is the prefrontal cortex underregulating the limbic system? Is the default mode network, a brain network active during rest and self-reflection, hyperactive? Are the attentional circuits fragmented? These are not academic questions. They are clinically essential. The diagnostic value of physical examination. A patient's appearance speaks volumes. Before a single symptom is described, a careful clinician can gather meaningful clues by observing skin color, weight, posture, and eye clarity. Pale skin, known as pallor, can be a sign of anemia. Anemia can cause fatigue, irritability, and poor concentration, symptoms easily mistaken for depression. Likewise, the presence of bulging eyes or a tremulous appearance may point to hyperthyroidism. This can cause anxiety, agitation, and insomnia, and in some cases, even psychosis. Cold hands are not a trivial finding. They may indicate vasoconstriction due to anemia, autoimmune disease, or thyroid dysfunction. Dry, brittle nails, and thinning hair are outward signs of internal endocrine or nutritional disorders. The body reveals what the mind cannot articulate. In children, growth metrics can indicate hidden physiological stress. Short stature, defined as below the third percentile, can result from chronic illness, malnutrition, or genetic conditions like Turner syndrome, a genetic disorder affecting females. Tall stature may suggest syndromes such as Marfan, a genetic disorder affecting connective tissue, or Klinefelter, a genetic condition in males with an extra X chromosome, each with its own neurological and behavioral implications. Stature is not just a pediatric concern. It's a signal that the system may be developmentally compromised. Chronic versus acute onset. Timing is everything. When did the symptoms begin? This simple question can distinguish between a primary psychiatric disorder and a medical emergency. Chronic symptoms often point toward developmental, genetic, or cumulative stress-related processes. Genetic polymorphisms, variations in DNA sequence, such as MTHFR, COMT, FOXB1, and FOXB2, genes involved in brain function and development, can affect how the brain processes neurotransmitters and regulates gene expression. MTHFR mutations, for instance, impair the methylation process needed to convert folate, a B vitamin, into its active form. This can lead to elevated homocysteine, a compound linked to mood disorders, cognitive impairment, and cardiovascular disease. Acute symptoms often have a trigger. Infections, head trauma, exposure to environmental toxins, or sudden psychosocial stress can precipitate dramatic changes in cognition and behavior. A new psychiatric presentation following travel should raise concerns about infectious diseases. Recent head injury suggests a possible mild traumatic brain injury. The key is to look for change points in the patient's narrative. What changed just before the mind unraveled? Refractoriness as a diagnostic clue. When patients fail to respond to psychiatric treatment, this is not a clinical dead end. It is a diagnostic opportunity. Treatment resistance often signals that the diagnosis is incomplete or incorrect. Patients may have been misdiagnosed, or the underlying condition may be biological rather than psychiatric. If SSRIs induce mania, bipolar disorder may have been missed. If neurofeedback fails to improve attention, the clinician should explore whether the patient has had a previous MTBI or suffers from chronic inflammation. Non-response should never be dismissed. It is the brain's way of saying, you are not treating the right problem. Substance use and medication side effects, hidden causes of psychiatric symptoms. Substances alter the brain's chemistry and circuitry. Chronic cannabis use, for example, has been linked to anxiety, depression, and, in vulnerable individuals, psychosis. Cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, CHS, a condition of repeated vomiting due to heavy cannabis use, is often misdiagnosed as anxiety or gastrointestinal illness. The paradoxical feature of CHS, symptom relief from hot showers, is a key diagnostic clue. Medication-induced psychiatric symptoms are equally important. Diphenhydramine, Benadryl, an antihistamine used for allergies, a common antihistamine, possesses anticholinergic properties that can cause delirium, particularly in the elderly. Methadone and Suboxone, medications for opioid addiction, while effective for opioid dependence, can produce mood blunting and anxiety. Polypharmacy must always be examined with suspicion. Each molecule a patient ingests can disrupt neurotransmission. Genetic and laboratory investigation, revealing the unseen. Laboratory testing is not supplementary, it is essential. A basic panel may uncover thyroid dysfunction, anemia, electrolyte imbalances, or markers of systemic inflammation, such as elevated C-reactive protein. A urinalysis can detect infection, which in older adults may present solely as delirium or hallucinations. Genetic analysis can provide deeper insight. The COMT gene codes for an enzyme that breaks down dopamine and other neurotransmitters, influences how quickly the brain clears dopamine, epinephrine, and norepinephrine. Low activity variants of this gene are associated with increased stress sensitivity, pain, and mood instability. FOXB2, a gene involved in language processing and speech development, has been associated with neurodevelopmental disorders, and abnormalities can manifest as behavioral dysregulation mistaken for psychiatric illness. Neuroimaging must be considered in cases of refractory, hard-to-treat, or unusual symptoms. Structural brain anomalies, such as Chiari malformations, brain tissue extends into the spinal canal, or arachnoid cysts, fluid-filled sacs in the brain, may cause symptoms of ADHD, depression, or even psychosis, depending on their location and size. The unseen injury, mild traumatic brain injury, MTBI. A blow to the head does not need to cause loss of consciousness to result in significant brain dysfunction. Mild traumatic brain injury often leads to disruption in attention, working memory, emotional regulation, and sleep. Symptoms may appear weeks or months after the injury and are often mistaken for depression, anxiety, or even personality disorders. Children are particularly vulnerable, as their brains are still developing. A child who begins acting out in school 6 months after a fall from a bicycle may not be defiant. They may be struggling with a disrupted executive network. MTBI may also lead to vestibular disturbances, tinnitus, hormonal imbalance, and visual strain. All of these contribute to emotional instability and cognitive fatigue. Environmental toxins and electromagnetic exposure. Environmental exposures can create profound neuropsychiatric symptoms. Heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and arsenic have been linked to cognitive decline, irritability, mood disorders, and even psychosis. Pesticides disrupt neurodevelopment and are associated with decreased executive function, increased impulsivity, and mood instability. Mold toxicity is another overlooked factor. Mycotoxins released by indoor mold exposure can impair memory, concentration, and sleep, and may cause emotional blunting, paranoia, or panic attacks. These symptoms are not all in the patient's head. They are in the environment, affecting the brain through inflammatory and oxidative pathways, chemical processes that can damage cells. Emerging research into electromagnetic hypersensitivity suggests that some individuals experience neurologically mediated symptoms, such as headaches, insomnia, anxiety, and sensory disturbances when exposed to Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, or smart meter radiation. While these reports are controversial, they are increasing, especially in adolescents, whose brains are more susceptible to electromagnetic influences during specific developmental windows. Mrs. J, a case of hallucinations, infection, and misleading appearances. Mrs. J was 75 years old when her daughter brought her to the emergency room in a panic. Over the past 2 days, her mother had become confused, frightened, and accusatory. She claimed that strangers were in the house, that her food had been poisoned, and that her family was plotting to harm her. This loving, coherent woman was suddenly delusional and agitated. The initial thought, as it too often is in geriatric psychiatry, was dementia or late-onset schizophrenia. But Mrs. J had no psychiatric history, and she had been managing her affairs independently just a week earlier. Upon examination, she was dehydrated and had a low-grade fever. A urinalysis showed pyuria, white blood cells in the urine, indicating infection, and positive nitrites, a sign of bacterial infection, indicating a urinary tract infection. Her blood work showed an elevated white blood count and C-reactive protein, CRP, confirming systemic inflammation. The diagnosis was urosepsis-induced delirium, a brain reaction to systemic infection. Delirium is an acute neuropsychiatric syndrome marked by fluctuating attention, disorientation, and sometimes hallucinations. It is caused by disruption of neurotransmitters, particularly acetylcholine, in response to infection, metabolic stress, or toxic insults. In elderly patients, UTIs are among the most common culprits. With antibiotics and supportive care, Mrs. J returned to baseline in 48 hours. Her hallucinations stopped. Her fear lifted. Had she been misdiagnosed, she could have been unnecessarily institutionalized, medicated with antipsychotics, and labeled with a psychiatric illness she did not have. Conclusion: investigating the origin, not just the outcome. Mrs. J's case is not rare. Every day, psychiatric symptoms are misinterpreted as primary disorders when they are signs of medical, environmental, or iatrogenic, caused by medical treatment, distress. As clinicians committed to ethical, neuroscience-informed care, We must look beyond behavior and into biology. Diagnosis begins not with naming, but with understanding. We must ask what is driving the dysfunction. We must examine what the brain is trying to tell us, not in symptoms, but in systems. That is the work of the clinician detective. That is the ethical mandate of our profession.